There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
6-2. Now, I still think most of the teams they've played and beaten are total garbage. I mean, three of the last four might be three of the worst five teams in football. I'm serious. The Giants, the Steelers, no, it's not Steelers, the Giants,
Browns, yeah.
The Browns, and the frickin' Jags. I mean, they stink. The Jags, James, how horrendous is Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, he's bad.
I've watched that guy probably play six or seven times. I've never been impressed.
Not Joe, one time.
Remember, he is horrible.
That's Doug Peterson.
Yeah, but he might. I know, but he might just not have it.
Job.
I know.
To train, I know. Really thought that would be a match made in heaven.
I thought so too, but some
the
players
raw clay in Doug's
I know.
Hands, and
I know.
That's a failure. And that is chalk that up to what is this kid? Too headstrong to be coached?
Look,
is this kid
I don't follow it enough
Carson
to
Wentz?
I don't know. I don't follow it enough to know. Here's what I know. When I watch him play, I'm not impressed with him athletically.
I am impressed
ball placement,
with
his timing.
I'm impressed with the athletic. Like
not
I can
much.
See the burst.
Not much.
When he keeps that thing, when he tucks that thing and he takes off, you can see that he's very gifted.
There wasn't a single Jags fan
athletic.
Who wasn't expecting that interception. Because that's what he does.
At the end of the game.
He makes, yeah. I mean, he can make a couple of amazing throws, and then he's just going to turn the ball over.
Yeah, he's just not good. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, let's not do the whole Trevor Lawrence thing forever. But so it makes you wonder. Yeah, well, it does
that's
make
it.
Me wonder, is the Eagles 6-2 an inflated 6-2? Probably. But
inflated, why?
Because
they played teams
yeah.
that have bad records?
Like really bad
stretch.
Teams. Really bad teams. But
okay,
but,
and we knew.
I know, I understand.
We knew exactly what we were headed into here.
Wouldn't
you have felt much better, Joe, if they had, say, Sirianni takes those points and they win, you know, 35-22, 37?
I still pretty much feel the same way I would. Look, I know the game got closer than we wanted. I was very impressed with the Eagles. I was impressed with their defense.
The defense in the first half was special.
It was. I was impressed with Jalen Hurts. I mean, I thought the Eagles, you know, I was impressed with Zach Bond and Nakobe Dean. I mean, I thought the Eagles, for the most part, played a really good game. Sirianni hurt him at times, and the NFL giving the other team 7 points hurt him. But I am pretty pumped up right now with the Eagles. I really am. Now, it's a little bit unfortunate. No, don't get me wrong.
To be pumped up for our quarterback because
right.
you've dissed him
right.
for so long.
If Dak and CeeDee Lamb don't play, it's a little unfortunate you won't get a truer feel of
the way Dak's
the Eagles
playing, don't you
Dallas?
Want him to play?
I know.
I mean, he's been brutal.
And by the way, guys, the Eagles can like just about end Dallas' season. Just about. I mean, they're 3-5. The Eagles will probably be, well, James, what is the line? I was going to say favorite.
I haven't looked this morning. It was 6.5. It opened at 6.5. I don't know if
Eagles?
Eagles were a 6.5 point favorite. I'll see if it's moved since last
That's a
night.
Lot. That's
yeah,
a lot.
On the road? Yeah, that's a big
road.
Line.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy to think
but
about.
But if they don't have two of their three best players, that is,
yes.
you know. All right, let's get
your
a lot of
quarterback and your best offensive
totally.
Threat.
Yeah.
remember, your running back was just suspended for the previous game.
Yeah.
Who knows what the situation is with that?
Totally.
So the offense is kind of your wide receiver, C.D. Lamb, remember, injured with the shoulder. Also, it really is who's going to be on offense for the Dallas Cowboys?
Look, dude, we'll see. Can I ask a quick suspension question? I can't be the only person thinking this. So I have a lot of sympathy for Joel with this situation. I want to be very clear. I thought the article was out of line, and tensions sometimes escalate to the point of physicality. It's a shame when it happens, but it does happen.
You can't put your hands on somebody.
You shouldn't.
No.
Let me ask this question, though. If the NBA determines he merits a suspension, how do they, like...
How do they levy it?
When does it start? When he's going to play or, like, when he doesn't play?
Oh.
Can we choose the game?
retroactively apply it to these four
games? Yeah, there
you
go. He's already missed four games. There we go.
It would be the next one. Would you trust the Sixers, if you're the league, to tell you when he's actually going to...
I don't think the Sixers... They're not trusting the Sixers on anything.
Right? The NBA should just leave the investigator at their complex at this point.
It really is. And again, what a PR failure by the Sixers.
Totally. They needed to get those two in a room before the game. Totally. Once you knew Marcus was there and get it handled.
No question.
But you know, Joel was out of line, and you know, Marcus shouldn't have put that in his column.
I agree with all that. 215-592-9494. All right, phones. And we're going to get to the three big plays because they were amazing, especially with the Maryland Mike calls were spectacular. We'll get to that, plus what the principal said after the game about the plays. Let's get to JB right now in Chestnut Hill. Good morning, JB.
Good morning, the first lady of morning radio and the three other guys in there.
Stop.
Hey, John, do you know where the word ostracize comes from?
No.
The Greeks used to actually vote people out of seats by using broken pottery, and they were called ostraca. And if you got a certain amount, I think it's 6,000 or some weird number, that you were ostracized for 10 years.
Look at that knowledge, man. Banishment.
You get 6,000 ostraca.
Correct.
What are these ostraca?
Oh, well, let's not do too much on ostraca. JB, give me what you got on the Eagles, my man. We got to keep it tight. Go ahead.
I think it's all more on Monday, and it's Embiid's a moron for going after Hayes.
No, that's not fair. No, that's not. No, JB, hold on. That's not fair. Things escalate. Joel is not out of line. Let's just start with this. He's not out of line for addressing Marcus Hayes, and he's not out of line for being passionate in his addressing of him. Do you agree with that?
He's out of line for going after him, because you know how you fix this, Joe?
No.
You just be in shape. How's that sound?
Well, you're conflating issues.
You talked about his dead brother, man. Come on, JB.
I'm getting to that.
Joe, you can't leave out the fact that he put his hands on him.
No, I'm not, but JB's leaving out a big part of the story, in my opinion, the way you presented it.
Let me finish my point. My point is Marcus Hayes is also completely out of line. You never bring someone's family, especially a dead family member, and someone's kid. It's way off limits. They should lock them in a room and let them beat each other, do whatever if they want at that point. But everybody's wrong. That's why it's more on Monday. And then Kelsey's a bigger moron. Dude, you're drinking way too much. You're running around selling your beer. You're acting like an idiot. You use a homophobic slur because someone used it against your brother. You then smash his phone. You're a moron. You need to be an adult. Walk away. Hey, man, I'm worth $80 million. You can say whatever you want about
Here's what I'll say on that. Do I think Jason should have done all the things he did? No. I also feel very confident he would not have used that word if it had not been just said to him. So he was saying it back as a retort, obviously. I think we all know that. I look forward tonight to how he addresses it on TV. I imagine he'll address it on TV. As of last night when I went to bed, he hadn't addressed it yet on Twitter, so I guess it goes to TV tonight. We'll see how he addresses it. But again, same thing with the Joel thing. Things escalate. I'm not saying it's good that they escalate. But, I mean, John, human nature, things happen.
Yeah, we're humans.
We are. I mean, there's only so much sometimes you can take and you snap. And I'm not saying that is wise, but I'm saying it is understandable. Right? I mean, John, things do happen. And what that guy was saying, and Jason Kelsey, was way out of line. So the whole just deal with it and move on and just keep walking. By the way, presumably, if so, that guy could have, first off, we don't know how long that guy was chirping in his ear before that. The camera started rolling, for all we know, it might have happened for a whole minute. They probably still had a good portion to go before they'd get to the stadium.
No idea.
That guy could chirp to him for another minute or two or three, depending on how long the walk is. That's not easy, man.
It escalated. I could not believe after the smashing, the guy came in and checked Jason as Jason went to pick up the phone. It was, man, it almost got so much worse for everyone involved. And I would hate for that to happen. You got to look at this like, hey, what can we extract from this that can benefit us moving forward? How do we get to take something from Coach Nick Sirianni 1% better? Well, we got to up the security level for Jason when he's out and about, because people want so badly to know him and have a piece of him that it's gotten destructive. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's easy to just walk away, but you would hope.
It's impossible to say just walk away.
It's very difficult.
But it's a shame that there are, man, that society creates this relationship that's so tenuous that you just want Jason's attention so badly, just want a piece of him so badly that you're willing to be a complete and utter jerk. Destructive fool.
And the last caller saying Jason's drinking too much. That's not fair to say. How do you know?
I don't know.
How do you have any idea what he's drinking? You have no idea.
It's
zero idea.
It's absurd. Yeah. So I didn't like that. That's part of why I reacted the way I did to the caller. I don't think that's appropriate to say. I mean, you have no basis of knowledge to know that was. I mean, well, look, obviously, if the guy hadn't said anything to Jason, Jason would not have had a moment with that guy, okay? And what that guy said was outrageous. All right, also outrageous, but in a good way, three of the great plays you'll ever see from the Eagles. I mean, one in particular that was just on a totally different level. Let's go through them and then what the principal said about them after the game. Let's listen to Saquon's remarkable run. And then we'll get to what Saquon said about it. Here's Merrill and Mike. What a great call by Merrill and Mike on one of the greatest plays we have. Let's be honest. It's one of the greatest plays we've ever seen in Philly sports.
Hurts in the gun. He backpedals. He's looking. Still looking. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
Well, he did that. He did that to show off to Shady McCoy.
He's never done this. No one's ever done this. He hurdles a guy backwards. How do you jump over a guy backwards?
He did.
What am I watching?
I'm telling you, I'm voting for Mike Wick for drop of the week on Friday. Merrill's part was great too, but Mike's part of that was so great. As an announcer, let's listen to Saquon after the game. Saquon talking about the play.
Take me through what was going through your mind when you left the man.
I kind of just played ball, let go, and let my body just react. That play was cool and all. There's a lot of stuff that happened in the second half that got cleaned up, taking care of the ball and situational football. But that's the beauty of football. You got to have each other's backs, and the defense had my back today. And most importantly, we got the win.
All right, so that, of course, with the sideline report. You know what's weird about that broadcast yesterday? I don't remember this before. A sideline report right when the game is starting as the offense walks on the field. You guys notice that? Whoever had the ball first, like right as the game is about to start.
The Eagles had the ball first.
Whoever got it first, the Eagles, yeah. Like there was a sideline report. Anyway, it was a weird thing, but she did a good job. But anyway, that was CBS, obviously, with Saquon. All right, let's get to play number two that was just also bonkers. It's Jalen's throw, which was great, and Devontae's catch, which was even greater. Here is Jalen to Devontae. I'll set the stage this way. I was very not happy when that ball was through the air because my mindset was just check it down. You know, it's third and long. Get a field goal. Get a better field position for a field goal. So when that ball is going through the air, I was worried.
He lets these things fly, and it seems so unlikely that they'll connect. I was afraid for just the fact that he was letting loose that deep. It just, it seemed unlikely.
Yeah, all right, well, it did seem incredibly unlikely. Devontae with an all-time catch. Here it is.
Calcaterra moves to his right. Here goes Hurts, going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed. I don't know if
what
he stayed. He's in!
Smitty.
He's in!
Oh, my
one
goodness.
Hand. One hand! I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it and stayed in.
Smitty is unbelievable.
That's a good Truly. Call, too, man. I mean, seriously, the plays are the better thing, but Marilyn Mike's calls here, phenomenal. Let's listen to Devontae after the game talking about his catch.
What goes into allowing you to do that?
I think first off, you know, we do our catch circuit, and in our catch circuit is making those one-handed over-the-shoulder catches. So I think that's part of it, and I think me just having a good feel of where I'm at on the field, being aware when I'm close to the sideline, just really just, you know, letting my legs just go dead and just get ready to drag.
I mean, just a great job, man.
He's so...
Just a great job.
He's just so skilled. Is there anyone more skillful? There are some guys out there, like Marvin Harrison was an incredibly skillful...
Yes, he was.
...wide receiver.
Yes, he was.
Like, it's almost, I don't know, like my memory banks, it's almost like his, like, just... Pistons. His legs were pistons in and out.
I remember
breaks.
It. I remember it. Chris the Carter had some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Some guys have it. It's a special gift for the precision of route running, where it doesn't, where they don't slow down in and out of breaks. And he's one of those guys. How do you cover that,
Dude?
You can't.
Unbelievable. All right. So your reaction to all this. We're going to get to the third play, which obviously was the closer. By N'Kobe Dean. We'll get to that in a moment. James, what do you got, man?
Yeah, some good news. Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports reporting Eagles wide receiver A.J. Brown, who left Sunday's game with a knee injury, avoided anything serious and is expected to be fine. So
that's
that is
great.
The report. Great,
that's
great, huge. Great news.
That is great news. My God, that's fantastic. All right, we'll get that line from 6.5 to 9. You know what I mean? Down in Dallas. All right. So listen, that is a big line. But obviously, I'm almost a little surprised the line's out, because sometimes
if you
don't know who the quarterback's going to be, sometimes a line doesn't get put out. I mean, that's risky by the odds makers.
I would grab it. Honestly, grab it at 6.5 right now.
Who the quarterback's going to be?
Well, he's probably not going to play. Let's
Cooper
be real,
Rush.
Guys. Hamstrings. Rarely does a player play the next week, at
Why
least
would
in this
he
thing.
Push it? They stink.
Well, their season
their
is
season's
on the line.
On the line. Uh-huh. By the way, speaking of they stink, did you guys see Dak say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
On this, that was wild.
He
very
had
clear what he was saying.
A little expletive in there.
Yeah.
And he was not. He does not think Dallas is a very good football team right now.
And the cameras caught him. All right. Cameras also caught, but I mean this in a good way, N'Kobe Dean with an amazing catch. Let's listen to the moment. It is N'Kobe saving the day. I mean, the Eagles were maybe going to lose, and N'Kobe, what a great play.
Lawrence back. Lawrence looks, firing for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted N'Kobe Dean! He picks it off of the end zone. No flags! The Eagles are going to escape.
He's going for it, the Ernest Johnson. Down the left side, N'Kobe Dean, sticky covers, as I just mentioned, and N'Kobe Dean pulls it away from Johnson.
N'Kobe Dean saved the game!
Tremendous. It really is. All right, and one more. Let's listen to N'Kobe and then right back to all the calls. N'Kobe after the game. And by the way, I'll just say, we've gotten to know him a little bit. Not too well, but a little bit. Great guy. Great guy, N'Kobe Dean. Someone that is so easy for me to root for, and I think us to root for, when you know someone on a personal level and really like the person. And then obviously
there's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Knowing his journey here had been very rocky in the first 2 years, very doubted heading into year three. And guys, let's remember, he flat out beat out Devin White at training camp. Like, that wasn't really supposed to happen, but it happened.
Everyone needs to think back. N'Kobe Dean, in everyone's mind, was a bust.
100%. Like, is he even going to make the
team? Prior to this training camp, we were lamenting that pick. And after training camp, you know, like, Devin White still not playing. Like, wait, hold on. Like, Vic Fangio shows this unlikely confidence in N'Kobe Dean to the point where it's like, no, N'Kobe beat him. Vic Fangio told us just flat out, no, Devin White, it's not because he's injured or anything else.
Totally.
N'Kobe Dean is better than he is. He beat him out. N'Kobe is the starter. Yeah. And we're all sitting there like, whoa, that's not congruous with the N'Kobe Dean that we thought we had on this team, which was a guy who, you know, slipped in the draft into the third round, and we were like, well, I guess that's what he is.
Well, let's be real. He was
going to be a special teams guy. Maybe he can turn that into something a little more.
The biggest problem
he looks like a stud who makes plays like a magnet.
I agree. And the biggest problem was he just wasn't good the first 2 years. Now, granted, last year he missed almost the whole year.
He was hurt a lot.
But not year one, and he didn't barely play. But when we saw him, including even preseason games, he just never jumped out.
No, he didn't.
He didn't ever jump out.
And
he never
jumped
out.
I don't know if he feels confidence in the scheme. Vic Fangio has tapped into something a little more now that we have our inside backers. He and Zach Bond, they kind of work as a unit. You know, the way that they blitz a lot more often than we ever saw our inside linebackers blitz. I don't know how much freedom they have to mess with that, but it looks like they're having fun with that whole scheme.
I agree.
And Vic Fangio has brought the best out of them.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, let's get to N'Kobe after the game talking about his huge play.
I got beat on it in training camp against Kenny Gainwell. So I had a lot of... I've seen it quite a bit. I remember from college. Got beat on a couple times in practice, too. So I kind of was, like, waiting on it. It was an opportune time. It was a high red zone. They knew what we was in. They knew 3-by-1 when we at the end of the game. They got the read right, and I just had to make a play.
Did you expect that play, or did you kind of recognize it once the snap was off?
Once he stuttered and went up, I kind of was expecting that's the main route. Usually when somebody run that play on the offensive side of the ball, I remember after I got beat on it, talking to Kenny and Jalen in training camp, that's the primary route. So I knew that if he thought he liked the matchup, he was going to throw it.
I really like something he said there. After he got beat in training camp, he talked to Jalen and Kenny Gainwell so he could become better at it and learn from it. That's great.
That's something you always hear.
I totally agree, John.
I can't get over that degree of inner squad communication.
That's
normally you've got a lot more like offensive, defensive separation. There really is a separation with everything. The team meeting that starts the day is 2 minutes long, and then all of the rest of the activities are broken up: offense, defense. And then even further from there groupings. To your individual groups.
Yeah. So look, congrats to N'Kobe, not only on that play and a good game, but a tremendous bounce back season. And in year three, he's someone that he looks pretty damn good. Let's talk to Eric right now in New Jersey. Eric, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I was at the game last night, and I wanted to just talk about two things that I noticed. For one, when that Saquon play, the fumble wasn't overturned, it sucked the entire life out of the stadium. Like, we were so angry. And I just was thinking to myself, how can the NFL not be squared away on something so simple?
Well, let me read and you, Eric, let me read you their explanation, because I actually have it. And I just want to read it to you and everyone listening, just to give context to what the league put out there through an official with the pool reporter. So there was a question asked, why did you determine that the on-field ruling of a fumble was in fact a fumble? And the answer from some guy named Butterworth, whoever the hell that guy is
not the, Mrs.
No, is this. And this makes no sense to me, but here's what the guy said. On that play, the running back was touched by a defensive player, number 51, and then he did have contact with number 69 on offense. It was deemed a stumble on the field, so because it was a stumble, when he went down, he would not be down by contact, and therefore it was a fumble. So what I think the guy basically saying, Eric, and this makes no sense to me, is that the defender tripping Saquon had no role in Saquon falling, which is preposterous.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, anyone with that. Eyes.
It's absurd.
So, yeah, I mean, just terrible. And just the one other thing. So I've been very defensive of Nick Sirianni and his aggressiveness. I'm somebody who's a little more on the aggressive side. I think that our only Super Bowl win with the Philly Special was a very aggressive play.
Absolutely, so
I
support
like
aggressiveness.
It. Yeah, but I will say I could not believe, I forget exactly what it was, maybe like 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, we were up 6 points. We were in field goal range, and A.J. Brown, your best player, is not on the field. And we decided to go for it on fourth down. We could have buried Jacksonville, who has only at that point had two offensive scoring drives. And there was 10 minutes or something left in the game.
You're talking about the fourth and one, right?
I believe so. Yeah. And we were up six, and we could have made it a two-score game against an offense that was doing absolutely nothing to us. And I just was blown away with that decision. Everything else I was fine with. The two-point conversions I was fine with. You know, if they give you a penalty, you should punish them. You know, I like that and everything else.
Sure.
But that was crazy.
All right, Eric. So, John, which decision bothered you the most?
You know, I guess the fourth and three.
That's mine. That's my number one, and my number two is the 57-yard field goal. I think you have a better chance
both
in that case punting and making Trevor Lawrence go 90 yards. You got a pretty good punter. Let the punter pin it down at the 10-yard line. Make Trevor Lawrence, who stinks, have to go 90 yards. To me, they were the two really bad decisions. I'm okay with the decision to go for the fourth and one. Now, it was a debacle of a play, if anything. You want to
talk about the fourth and inches where that was a terrible play call.
Play call. Like play I'm okay call. With yeah. going for that.
I was okay with that one.
But the play
but
was
the play was so bad.
It was broken right from the start. I mean, there was no one for Jalen to throw the ball to. It's not his fault. He's doing everything he can to just figure it out. I mean, guys, let's remember, you know, that is not an uncommon play. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes had a fourth and one in the Super Bowl that if they didn't convert it, they would have lost the Super Bowl. I don't know if you guys remember that. In overtime, they had a fourth and one that they converted. So, I mean, fourth and one is not crazy to go for. But and they, by the way, ran a passing play, and it worked for them, didn't work for the Eagles. I was okay on the two-point conversions. I just didn't like the non-field goal early and the 57-yard field goal late. By the way, Lane Johnson knows that things got sloppy as that game went on and was pretty critical of the Eagles after the game. Not over the top, not in a bad way, but he knows that they, you know, made this thing closer than it should have been. Here's Lane after the game.
I felt like we left, you know, should have been a 40-point game. And I felt like the yards that we attained should have been a reflection of that. But it goes down to scoring points. It doesn't matter about the yards. You don't win the game with yards. So, there's multiple times where, you know, we could have had some points and we didn't.
So from your perspective, why wasn't this game, when it's 22-0, a 40-point game?
Lack of focus. I think, you know, when you get up on teams, a sense of complacency can naturally come on you. And with the talent level in this league and the players, that are in this league, they will expose you. And that's really what it's like week to week.
All right, so he gives the lack of focus answer. What? It's, you know, significant.
He's right. I'll take that, and let's think back to what really happened. I think we as fans, we're losing sight of the fact that we failed at the tush push repeatedly.
Correct.
In this game. You know, we wouldn't be worried about the decisions made by Nick Sirianni.
I agree.
If the tush push worked.
That and then
that's
the NFL.
A problem if that's the corner, if that's the keystone of our offense. If everything is dictated toward, hey, let's get this thing. We've got four downs. And if we get this thing down to fourth and one or less, we're going to go for it every time with the tush push or a permutation of that thing. I did like the fact that we ran a speed option, even though it got called back.
Called back, yeah.
That was good to see. I'm glad we can do that. It can work. It did work.
Look, they
on
are,
that play.
For sure. They are.
But we failed repeatedly.
Well, and they are missing parts and might need to reevaluate whether they call it while Mullott is out. Guys, Dallas Goedert pushing Jalen Hurts, I guarantee you
that's better.
He's stronger than Grant Calcaterra pushing Jalen.
You can see guys like being peeled off the pot. It's not as oomphy as it was previously. And I don't know exactly with the shuffle and the reshuffle of the offensive line also. Yeah. It really is tough times for the tush push.
Yeah.
Failure means maybe you go a different direction.
But also, and the Eagles would have a better sense of this certainly than I do. I mean, it might just be that Jacksonville's got some beef inside that other teams don't have. I mean, the Eagles rarely didn't convert last year, but most notably when they didn't was Vita Vea in the playoff game. I mean, if you have a guy like that, it's a different deal. And, you know, maybe that was part of...
We have not gotten as much push, it feels like, this whole year.
Well, look, you don't have Jason Kelce. I mean, that's another...
that a little
it's another
bit.
Yes, I agree. It's another factor. Let's listen to Sirianni after the game. The various decisions, not that he goes one by one, but he is asked about the concept of his over-aggressiveness or aggressiveness, depending on how you frame it. Here's Elliot asking Sirianni a question.
Nick, you were pretty aggressive today, going for the two-point conversions. You went for a couple fourth downs. I'm curious, how do you balance like wanting to be aggressive with maybe looking at the results, like you weren't converting them?
Yeah, you know, we've done pretty good at those in the past. And so you always think about everything. You think about who you have. You think about your past experiences with it. You always look at the analytics of it. You know, we've been pretty good on those. Today they did a good job. And so I'll look at everything. But everything in the moment, I'm always doing what I think is best for the football team. And, you know, today it didn't work. But, you know, that's the way it goes. That's the hat I have to wear, right? You know, when we get a fourth down and we convert a fourth down, you know, we're not, you know, it's nothing's really said. When we don't, you know, I understand that there's going to be questions. But again, I have to be able to have the balls to do that, really, at the end of the day, and say, am I doing everything I can do to help us win the game? And then those moments I thought I was, but I'll go back and relook at them. I'm always going to be hypercritical of myself.
Look, we will talk to Sirianni about it tomorrow.
Man.
I mean, he'll join us right around this time, 8:40 tomorrow. You know, we'll get into it.
And no, I feel like who's to blame him for trying to represent himself in the best and most aggressive and most I believe in you guys mode.
You overrate that a little bit,
though. Decisions. I do.
But his biggest thing is he just needs to be wise. That's the biggest thing about those decisions. Just make a wise choice. And I thought yesterday he made some unwise choices. And I think this year he's made, I mean, off the top of my head, about 7 to 10 of them. By the way, sometimes they've worked out. Yeah. I will say that. There have been decisions I have disagreed with in the moment, and it works out. So we can't lose sight of that, but I think his aggressiveness is going too far. By the way, Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, and I think it's an interesting question. Basically, like, what's the best Eagles play ever? Not from an important standpoint, but from a pure athletic brilliance standpoint. So Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question, which play was more impressive? Hopefully you're old enough to remember both or have seen both. Was it Saquon's play yesterday or Randall's 95-yard TD against the Buffalo Bills in 1990 when he eluded Bruce Smith and then hit Freddie Barnett for the 95-yard catch and run? Which play more impressive? I do think there's a good argument they are the two best plays ever. Not important, but best. And which do you think was John? What's your lean there?
Well, hold on, I don't know.
No,
I got to examine this.
Well, you got Randall versus Carl Banks. That would be another one to consider. I mean, look, Deshaun's punt return is more impressive, but it's just a punt return. Like it's not. It wasn't that.
Just a punt return.
No, but I mean,
yeah,
he didn't break. He didn't break nine tackles.
Yeah. I get it,
James. You're right, James, are we missing anything? I mean, you got the big hits. You got the dog hits.
You got some of the catches. I mean, like the Devontae catch.
Devontae catch.
I don't think we're missing.
You got Randall's
there.
Punt. Randall's 91-yard punt. Mm-hmm. But I want, you know, that was wind aided. You know, Megat didn't catch it, and then it rolled about 30
like
yards.
Carson out of couple, like the magic play where it breaks out, like that kind of like
there.
That.
Yeah.
You know,
it's up there. But I feel Reed. You feel confident these are the two best you've seen.
I love Sheldon's hit on
that's big
on Reggie Bush.
Yeah, but it's also just a hit.
It's just a hit. It's still like one of my favorite.
I know it's one of my favorite too. I think Randall's versus Carl Banks is pretty damn high up there. Also,
I like Jerome McDougal's hit on Eli.
I know, but again it's just a hit.
Yeah,
I mean, it was awesome. He disappeared.
Well, then there's Dawkins.
Just disappeared.
From where I was standing.
I'm watching from the sideline.
Yeah.
It was even better because even with the crown of the field and stuff, he really did disappear.
I get it.
I got one. The EA interception return.
Oh.
Oh.
That is a great call, wow. James. Versus the Jets, game 4 of 93. That's a good call.
You know why I think the Saquon one is just better? He jumped over the guy backwards.
I know.
I mean, that's awareness.
I know.
No, it's the opposite. It's as fearless gets. You jumped as high as you can jump backwards.
Yeah, I know.
Going the wrong direction. Just think about that.
I know. Well, I'll say this. I'll tie the two plays together. Both were a combination of remarkable athleticism and awareness of where and when the hit was coming. Because Bruce Smith was about to take Randall's head off.
Yep.
And we all, when we watched it, like, how did he know? I actually talked to Bruce Smith about it one time, and honestly, I forget his answer. I wish I had the audio. But it's like, how did he know Bruce Smith was about to take his head off at that exact moment? And he ducked, and anyway. All right, which play more impressive, Saquon or Randall? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. The Force.
Maybe.
Strong.
The Force.
Strong with these guys. All right, Seth Joyner, he had the Force as a player, has the Force as a broadcaster, and he said something yesterday. We will talk to him about coming up because I want to read this to you. During the game yesterday. Hold on. Damn, I just lost it. I just lost it. Well, let's put it this way. He's very critical of Nick Sirianni.
Shocking.
Very critical. Here's what Seth said during the game on Twitter. It's official. Our head coach is an idiot. We will talk to Seth about that next. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.